Welcome back to the Cory Doctorow podcast. This is my second week at home after 2.5 months on the road with books. And boy, am I really enjoying being a homebody. We had the sliding doors that lead to my beloved backyard hammock. Wheels were placed this week. That was a thing that I've been waiting for forever. It turns out the old wheels had been made of plastic and had totally disintegrated, which is why those doors were so hard to move. Now they glide along on steel wheels with a kind of very satisfying shh sound. We went out for an amazing dinner last night, took our friends to a place called Yalbaz Corner that's in the middle of Angeles National Forest, and it's a private home of an Iranian family, and they serve a set menu Persian meal in their backyard. That was just so unbelievably good. I am a little bilious this morning because it was so good that I ate way too much of it. I am running around my house cleaning like a madman. I finally finished cleaning up my closet in the bedroom this morning. I'm about halfway through my office, finding all kinds of weird treasures. My kid is taking mountains of stuff to her Depop account and listing it for sale, weird old t-shirts and clothes that I no longer wear or never wore or don't fit anymore. And I am getting ready for my friend Ted to come to LA because we are going together to see Talking Heads at the Pantages Theater, where they will be introducing a screening of the newly remastered Stop Making Sense. And that is just like another dream come true. And I am also, as of Monday, starting work on the Inshittification book for a publisher that I cannot yet name because the contracts are taking forever, but a really great publisher that I've always wanted to work with, and they've picked it up for a very tidy sum that has allowed me to set aside money. We're getting a heat pump installed in our house, and I'm having cataract surgery that's going to correct my vision. They're even going to put in this really cool thing called a light adjustable lens on one of my eyes, the eye that's going to see close up. And that's a lens that's been impregnated with UV sensitive polymer. So after you get the lens implanted, you wear sunglasses that block UV until it's fully healed. And then you go and have your eye tested to see whether or not it's at the range that you wanted. If the focal point is where you wanted it, I want it between 21 and 23 inches so I can focus on my laptop, whether I'm in the hammock or on the couch. And then they use highly focused UV light to change the optical characteristics of this lens. They can do that up to 4 times, and then they give it a final UV bath that fixes it in place. So this is very exciting. I'm so excited about getting this done. We're still trying to find the scheduling moment for it. I need to go try on some contact lenses and figure out which one is closest to the vision that I'm looking for. But once we get that, we're well on our way to my vision becoming perfect for the rest of my life. It's very exciting. I'm also traveling still. I can't stop. I will be in Amherst, New York, just outside of Buffalo, for the Media Ecology Association keynote and to accept the Neil Postman Prize for Lifetime Achievement in Media Literacy. I'm going to be in New York, in Queens, on July the 14th to give the closing keynote at the 15th Hackers on Planet Earth conference. Then I'll be in Chicago, July 20th and 21st. On the 20th, I'll be at a bookstore in the Loop. It's still not announced, but it's going to be in central Chicago for a bookstore event. And on the 21st, I will be at the American Association of Law Libraries to do a keynote. I'm also going to be at DEF CON to do a keynote in Las Vegas, and I'll be at Burning Man, and I'll be speaking at Center Camp and also at Palenque Norte, as well as at our camp where I'll be doing a Q&A. It's going to be fun. The theme this year at Burning Man is Alice in Wonderland, so I'm going to do it dressed as a giant caterpillar. Apparently, this is something one of my campmates has the appropriate costuming for. So there we go. This week, I'm going to read to you my latest piece for the Electronic Frontier Foundation's Deep Links blog. It's about Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, a very controversial and badly misunderstood piece of legislation that is, in fact, very important to the health of the internet and sadly may be going away. And so here we are from EFF's Deep Links blog. Want to make big tech monopolies even worse? Kill Section 230. It's no fun when your friends ask you to take sides in their disputes. The plans for every dinner party, wedding, and even funeral arrive at a juncture where you find yourself thinking, dang, if I invite her, then he won't come. It's even less fun when you're running an online community, from a group chat to a Mastodon server, or someday a Blue Sky server, or any other increasingly cheap and easy space where your friends and their friends can hang out online, far from the unquenchable dumpster fires of big tech social media. But there's a circle of hell that's infinitely worse than being asked to choose sides in a flame war, being threatened with a lawsuit for refusing to do so, or even for complying with one side's request over the other. At EFF, we've had decades of direct experience with the heated rhetoric that attends online disputes. There's a reason that the most famous law about online arguments was coined by the very first person EFF ever hired. Here's a little aside from me. That would be Godwin's Law, named for Mike Godwin, who was EFF's first ever employee and general counsel. That's one of the reasons we're such big fans of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, a much maligned, badly misunderstood law that protects people who run online services from being dragged into legal disputes between their users. Getting sued can profoundly disrupt your life, even if you win. Much of the time, people on the receiving end of legal threats are forced to settle because they can't afford to defend themselves in court. There's a whole cottage industry of legal bullies who'll help the thin-skinned, vindictive, and deep-pocketed to silence their critics. That's why we were so alarmed to see a bill introduced in the House Energy and Commerce Committee that would sunset Section 230 as of December 31st, 2025, with no provision to protect online service providers from being conscripted into their users' online disputes and the legal battles that arise from them. Homely places on the internet aren't just a curiosity anymore, nor are they merely a hangover from the Web 1.0 era. In the age of resurgent anti-monopoly activism, small online communities, either standing on their own or joined in loose federations, are the best chance we have to escape big tech's relentless surveillance and clumsy, unaccountable control. Look, running online communities is already a thankless task that can convert a generous digital host into a bitter ex-online host. The alternatives to big tech come from individuals, co-ops, nonprofits, and startups. These cannot exist in a world where we change the law to make people who offer a space where communities may gather vulnerable to being dragged into lawsuits between their community members. It's one thing to volunteer your time and resources to create a hospitable place online. It's another thing entirely to assume an uninsurable risk that could jeopardize your life savings, your home, and your retirement fund. Defending against a single such case can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's very bad news indeed, because a world without Section 230 will desperately need alternatives to big tech. Big tech has deep pockets, which means that even if it creates a system of hair trigger moderation that takes down anything remotely controversial on site, it will still attract a staggering number of legal threats. There's a useful analogy here to FTX, the disgraced fraudulent cryptocurrency exchange. Like big tech, FTX has some genuinely aggrieved users, but FTX has also been targeted by opportunistic treasure hunters who have laid claims against the company totaling $23.6 quintillion. We know what big tech will do in a post-230 world because some of us are already living in that world. Donald Trump signed SESTA FOSTA into law in 2018. The law was billed as a narrowly targeted measure to make platforms liable for failing to intervene in cases where they were aware of human trafficking. In practice, the law has been used to indiscriminately target consensual sex work, placing sex workers in harm's way, just as we predicted. Without Section 230, big tech will shoot first, ask questions later when it comes to taking down controversial online speech like hashtag MeToo or Black Lives Matter. For marginalized users with little social power, again, like hashtag MeToo or Black Lives Matter participants, big tech takedowns will be permanent, because big tech has no incentive to figure out whether it's worth hosting their speech. Meanwhile, for the wealthy and powerful, a post-230 world is one where dictators, war criminals, and fraudsters will have a new powerful tool to silence their critics. A post-230 world, in other words, is a world where big tech is infinitely worse for the users who already suffer most from the large platform's moderation failures. But it's also a world where it's infinitely harder to start an alternative to big tech's walled gardens. No wonder tech billionaires support getting rid of Section 230. They understand that their overgrown, universally loathed services are vulnerable to real alternatives. 4 years ago, the Biden administration declared that promoting competition was a whole-of-government priority, and we cheered. Getting rid of Section 230 will do the opposite. Freeze the internet in its current monopolized state, creating a world where the rule of today's tech barons is never challenged by a more democratic, user-centric internet. All right, thank you very much. I hope that that article helped you understand this really not very smart debate we're having about Section 230. I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye.
You've been listening to the Cory Doctorow Podcast, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike US 3.0. Or as Woody Guthrie put it in another context, this song is copyrighted in the US under Seal of Copyright 154085 for a period of 28 years, and anyone caught singing it without our permission will be a mighty good friend of ourn, because we don't give a dern. Publish it, write it, sing it, swing to it, yodel it, we wrote it, that's all we wanted to do. Many thanks to John Taylor Williams for mastering. That's Ryneck Studio, W-R-Y-N-E-C-K Studio, @gmail.com. John Taylor Williams is a full-time, self-employed audio engineer, producer, composer, and sound designer. In his free time, he makes beer, jewelry, odd musical instruments, and furniture. He likes to meditate, to read, and to cook. Talk to you next week.